Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome. Well, while some of us thrived during, I don't include myself in that, but while some people thrived during the earthquake economy of the past 18 months, most of us felt the pinch on some level. And my first guest today is an expert on personal finance. Coming up around 12:30, we'll be profiling Seattle business owner Terry Verdell. He'll share his family business philosophies, as well as his views on branding and how you can make the most of your visibility. But first, I'm very pleased to have with me an acclaimed syndicated columnist and Emmy Award-winning TV personality, Jane Bryant Quinn. She's the author of the best-selling Making the Most of Your Money and Smart and Simple Financial Strategies for Busy People. And her career includes a column syndicated in the Washington Post, a bi-weekly column in Newsweek, the CBS Morning and Evening News, and a column at Bloomberg.com. Consumer Reports voted her original book as the best finance book on the market, and we'll talk about that some more. Jane Bryant Quinn, welcome to the show.
Hello, Vicki. I'm very glad to be here with you.
And I'm really pleased because this, I would agree with, I know they talked, Consumer Reports cited your first book, your original version of this book, as the best financial book on the market. And I'd have to agree on the updated version. So I wonder if you'd just share with us a little bit about the new book and how that came into play.
Well, the last update that I did was 1997, Vicki. And so gradually, obviously, it got out of date. But I was doing many other things, and I simply didn't have time to get back to it. But then, with the housing collapsing and other things happening in the economy, I said to Simon & Schuster, I had better redo this book. And so this is now my third edition, and I revised it. I revised it as the economy was collapsing in 2008 and afterwards, so that I was able to get some perspective on what was happening there too. I must say, it was a very interesting time to be catching a personal finance book, but I dealt with all the things that were happening in health insurance and credit cards and how you needed to think about the stock market and retirement, all the usual things. But it was really an amazing enterprise doing this while the economy was changing so much.
Absolutely. And you've included new products that have come about and many changes that have come about because of the crash in the economy and the forging of the new economy. You broke the book down into 8 steps. I should say it's 1,200 pages long. So it really is a great reference tool for somebody who wants to really get a hold of their financial data. But before we dive into that, I want to talk about what's happening right now, Jane, with the credit card companies. I know myself, I don't even have a ton of credit cards, but I'm getting all these disclosures saying we've changed your details.
Tell us, that's right.
What do we need to be concerned about?
Well, the Credit Card Act was passed last year, and it takes effect February 22, and it ends some of the abuses that the banks were doing with your credit cards. For example, if you were 1 or 2 days late, they popped up your interest rate not only on your current debt, but on all of the debt that you were already carrying on the card. I mean, this was totally unfair. So they made adjustments to those things, and they changed them. There's one little thing, though, of course. Now the banks, in order to make up that money, the banks have been raising fees right and left. And so I find it very painful to see one set of abuses cleaned up, well, the second set of abuses is coming down upon us right away.
Yeah, and having spent 15 years in the financial industry myself, I know that's where most financial institutions make their money, is on fees.
And, you know, one thing I might point out, certainly this is true of my bank, and I think it's true of many other banks, you know, they can no longer automatically charge you whatever, $25, $30, if you go over your credit limit. you have to opt in. You have to agree to accept that charge.
Oh, okay.
So what the bankers are doing is they are simply ignoring that for the moment. They're saying you have no automatic charge if you go over the limit. However, they are also saying, beware, if you charge more than your limit, your card may be refused, and which is the way it used to be. And so you need to keep track of your credit limits, because if you're close to it, you don't want to have a card refused. But then the banks are going to come to you and say, well, now you have to buy our over-limit protection. Don't you want to do that? And the answer is no, you don't. You just want to keep a real sharp eye on your credit limit so that you're never over it.
Right. You know, over the holidays, I ran into this situation. I didn't have time to get to the bank, and I've had overdraft protection on my account for 12 years since the day I opened it. Of course, my bank was WaMu, and it got bought out by Chase. And I was running out to buy a large purchase, and I thought, oh, I'm sure I've got enough to cover that. But if not, it'll just, you know, pull from another account, or it'll just overdraft me. Well, in the Chase takeover, what I didn't realize, and I'm glad I called ahead of time, they wiped all of that out.
Ah.
So we have to be very careful and very self-protective, I think, of what's going on right now.
All these disclosures that are coming in the mail, you know, don't throw them out and read them, put them in a file somewhere so you know what is going on. But you should also be shopping for cheaper credit cards. I mean, there are sites like CardTrack.com that will help you find, with any luck, a credit card with a lower interest rate.
Right. Let's say that I get a disclosure, and let's say the credit card company said they're going to put my rate up now before the February 22nd, I think you said, deadline. Do I have rights there? Where do my rights lie?
Your rights, actually, you don't have very many rights, Vicki. They can put up your interest rate whenever they want. Now, under the new rule, they have to keep the same interest rate. If it's a fixed rate, they have to keep it for the entire year, but before they can start raising it. So you've got 1 year protection. But if it's a variable rate, they can raise it any time for any reason. And
okay.
That is just something that we can't do anything about, except perhaps not use our credit cards run rolling balances on your credit cards. You know, you're home free if you pay off your credit card at the end of the month. None of these fees will affect you.
Right. Now, let's say that I, because I know in the past this was a situation, I don't know if this is the same with the changes, but let's say I look at the disclosure and I think, heck no, I'm not buying into that. Can I write to the credit company within a certain number of days and tell them I just want to close my account and then pay it off at the interest rate I had originally?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So that is an option to us.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about check systems and scan, because I've heard a lot of people having problems with these. I don't write checks myself, but for check writers out there, or do check systems and scan go with debit cards now too? What are they, basically?
The check systems is something that not very many people know about. And if you get into trouble with your bank in some way, if you close an account and you still owe the bank money, they will put your name into check systems. And that is very much like putting your name into a credit history or credit report, except it's for bankers, it's for people who write checks. And once your name is in check systems as a deadbeat, you will find it almost impossible to open a bank account anywhere until that clears. Hmm. And it will take 7 years to clear.
Wow.
So the bankers really have a grip on you, much more even than a grip that the credit card people have. So you really have to be careful with your bank. You know how it could happen if you have, if you go to an ATM and you get, I don't know, $100 out of the ATM and you're moving and then you go and close your account. Well, you're perfectly honest about it, but the ATM just didn't get the debit into your account in time. And so you close it, and the bank will say, this person owes me $100. And if they can't find you, for example, if you move, then they put you into check systems, and you were there for 7 years.
Oh, lovely.
It's a little known fact and something you really, you've got to be very careful not to run into problems with your bank.
Yeah. Now, you say that our credit scores are more important than ever. I guess because there's so much cross-referencing going on these days with computer systems. Why is it more important than ever from a financial perspective?
Well, your credit score is now being looked at if you rent an apartment, if you apply for insurance, if you apply for auto insurance, of course, if you apply for mortgages. It is more and more becoming the gold standard for people who want to check on your character. And they say, well, if this is a person of good character, they're going to have a decent credit score. And if they have a poor credit score, that means that, well, they're jumping on their bills, they're paying late, I don't want to have anything to do with that person.
Right.
So the credit score is being widely used far beyond what it was originally intended for. And the other thing is, it is also being used to decide what your interest rate should be on your credit cards or your mortgages or any other loans you take. You know, you apply for a credit card and it says, oh, this is your 5% credit card, except it can be anywhere between 5% and 20%. And when you get the card, you discover, well, they checked your credit score and they decided to charge you 18%. And there you are.
Yeah.
You didn't know that in advance.
So don't believe those teaser rates or those teaser promotions that are coming out.
It's all going to depend on your credit score. And you know, Vicki, it's not hard to keep a good credit score. Pay your bill, pay on time.
Right.
If you do that, other things are all around the edges of paying your bill and paying on time.
Right. You talk, as I said, the book is broken down into eight segments, eight steps. Very thorough background on financial, personal finance here. But this just blew me away. One of the things you talk about in the first step is make sure your record keeping is accurate. Take the time to organize your records. It can save us 84 hours per year looking for stuff. How did you come to that number?
Let me see. I think I came to that number by seeing how long it took me when I was trying to clean up the mess that my records were. Because I actually was not keeping my records very well. And it was after I had been searching and searching for something that I suddenly said, this is ridiculous, and I just stopped. And I cleaned everything up. And so that's how long it took me. And I thought, well, if my records were a mess, that's how long it would take me over a year to find things.
Wow, wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Jane Bryant Quinn. And her new book is called Making the Most of Your Money Now. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live. My guest in this segment is Jane Bryant Quinn. She's the author of Making the Most of Your Money Now. Now, this is a revised book, fully all 1,200 pages of it, revised for our new economy. The original version was voted by Consumer Reports as the best financial book on the market. And this really has some incredible information in there, whether you are good at finance or whether you don't like thinking about financial information. I want to ask you, Jane, because I know you've spent a lot of time also working with people who are just too busy to manage their money. You know, with the amount of time we have to spend on the computer at work and the amount of information we have to absorb, the last thing sometimes you want to do is sit down and balance your books on the PC.
That's true. And get organized. I understand that.
So what are the top three things that we should do if we do nothing else?
If you do nothing else, you need to save for retirement. And you can make that automatic if it comes right out of your paycheck into an individual retirement account or a 401k. If you don't have a 401k, you can set up an individual retirement account or a SEP IRA if you're self-employed and have money taken automatically out of your bank account and put away every month. You've got to save money. One thing we've learned from this crash is that people who were at 55 years old, 60 years old, suddenly discovered that they don't really have enough money to retire and they can't get a job because of their age and age discrimination, and they are stuck. You know, there's just nothing you can do at that point. So I would say that saving money for retirement is practically one, two, and three, and you can make it automatic so that you can make it easy for yourself. And then after that, I would say to get your spending under control so that you are not running up consumer debt all the time. And the third one would be to reduce your debt. Here again, people are moving into their 50s, 55, 60, and they still have big mortgages, they still have consumer debt, and they have no way to pay for it with their retirement incomes. So you need to get rid of that debt. So those are my top three things.
Okay, very good. Now, what about advice on managing money as a couple? We have many, many blended families out there. We all know that money in families causes more arguments than just about anything. It can cause a lot of ill will. I love this. You also write with a sense of humor. You say in the book, "I believe in sharing secrets, sharing beds, but not in sharing wills." I wonder if you just talk about the top things we need to know maybe as a blended family and having a will in place.
Well, of course, a will is extremely important. And I can't remember what the percentage is, but a surprisingly low percentage of people actually write wills. They get around to it perhaps when they have children, but then, you know, they've sort of forgotten about their spouses. They've forgotten about all of the other things. But what the piece that you read means that you shouldn't have a joint will. A husband and wife, each one of you should have a separate will. You shouldn't try to write a single will because that can get very confusing. If one of you wants to change beneficiaries and the other one doesn't, you know, suddenly you're stuck.
Right. So even if somebody's been married 40 years, they still should not have a joint will.
Oh, no. You should have a separate will. That's extremely important. And just as important as having a will, period. And some people, you know, handwrite their wills and put them in the desk drawer, and that may be legal and it may be probated in your state, but sometimes the way you handwrite the will can be very confusing, and so it's not exactly clear what your intentions were. So that's one of the reasons that I strongly believe in seeing a lawyer to write your will. That's important. If you really want to write it yourself, there are some publications from an organization called NOLO, N-O-L-O, that can give you some guidance on writing a will. But I'd say right off the bat, go ask a lawyer to do it for you.
Okay, sounds good. And what about gay and lesbian couples or domestic partner situations? Because they often run into, I watched a very sad story just a couple of weeks ago about somebody who lost their partner and couldn't make any medical decisions for them or any financial decisions for them because they weren't legally married.
Well, this you can get around, and this is really important for gay and lesbian couples or any heterosexual unmarried couples who've lived together for a long time. A will, you can leave people money by will, but that isn't nearly enough. You need to have a medical directive. So you name a proxy, you name somebody legally who has the right to look at your medical records and to make decisions on your behalf and make medical decisions. And that's something that the lawyer will do, too. You ought to get a package of the will, the proxy, who you are naming to make the decisions, and also the living will, where you can say how you feel about living on if you're in a coma. If you don't want to do that, you need to say it.
Right, right. And let the person know before it's mailed to you that that's coming, because somebody left me as their executor on that part of the situation and forgot to tell me it was coming, and it kind of scared me a little. I thought, what's,
oh my goodness.
I thought, what's happened?
Yes, and people, I mean, if you're leaving someone the executorship or the right to make medical decisions for you, not only should you tell them, but you should talk to them about what your
right.
own wishes were, so that when you get the job, you'll know something about what that person wanted.
Right, right.
They had a lot of faith in you, Vicki.
They did. big thing in many people's lives, not just younger students or parents, but people who've gone back to school because they can't find jobs in their own environment. Student debt. What do we need to know about that? How can we reduce our student debt?
The first thing is to do your very, very best to make it on federal student loans alone. If you are an adult student, and depending on what field you go into, there's extra money for doctors and nurses, for example. If you're an 18-year-old student, it's not only your own student loan, but your parents can take out a PLUS loan. And those, again, a federal loan, those are the two cheapest student loans that you're going to get. And what's happening is that students are going to their banks, and their banks are giving them additional loans, and they are charging a huge interest rate. So when you hear students really being stuck with student loans, it's not so much their federal loans, although, you know, those are serious too, but it is the private loans they took from banks. And some students, you know, they just don't realize it. They go into a bank, and a bank says, well, here's your federal student loan, and on top of this, you need more money, so here's your private loan. And they say yes, because they think that's how it is.
Right.
But if you have parents, they can sign for another federal loan that will effectively pay for all of your school. And that is a low interest rate, and that is definitely what you should do before taking a private loan.
Okay, definitely the way to go. You have a great website. I looked around on that a little. I wanted to talk about something that I think has impacted a lot of people too, and that's COBRA insurance, which picks up if we lose a job or when we're in between jobs. You wrote a blog on there about somebody, this is not funny, I don't know why I laughed there, but somebody who lost his COBRA because he underpaid his November bill by 2 cents. Tell
That's
us what
right.
we need to know about working with COBRA.
If you are on COBRA, you know, they really don't want you, because the people who take COBRA typically are people who can't get health insurance elsewhere. That's because COBRA is expensive and it's
yeah.
sometimes bare bones. And so basically the insurance companies don't want you, and they send you one bill, or they send you a coupon book, and then they sit back and wait. And if you pay a day late, well, that's too bad. You've lost your COBRA. There's no such thing as a grace period as there is with life insurance or other kinds of insurance. You've just lost it. So you have to be absolutely sure you are paying that on time. And if you pay your bills online, as I do, if you make any bill automatic, you should make your COBRA bill automatic. But there's another side to it too, Vicki, and that is that they make it hard for you to get onto COBRA in the first place. I mean, my husband ran into this when he was trying to get COBRA. The company just, they wouldn't send him the information. He called. They said, yes, it's in the mail. It never came. And basically, he had to get his company human relations office to twist the arm of the insurance companies just to send them the material, because if he applied too late, he couldn't have gotten it.
Yeah.
So COBRA is something that you really have to keep a very sharp eye on, because they don't make it easy for you to stay.
Right. And in both of these cases you just discussed, it was the Miami Herald, one newspaper, and the Washington Post, another paper, that helped both parties get fixed up with COBRA, corrected with COBRA. This is why we need newspapers and good journalists.
Yeah, but we also need better insurance companies.
We do.
And decent insurance, because all of the people who have trouble with COBRA, every one of them can't find a journalist to write that wrong. So, yes, journalists can help, and it's wonderful that we can do that for people, but we can't do it for everybody. We just have to get these insurance companies to be honest with their people.
We're almost at the end of our segment, Jane. I wanted to get in really quick. A lot of crooks in suits out there. You just wrote a recent post on there. You reposted a comment that you'd heard from Edmund Andrews, the former economics reporter for the New York Times. Tell us what we need to know about how do we separate a crook in a suit from somebody who's genuine?
I would say there are real genuine crooks out there who want to manage your money, but they don't have... And they don't have a connection with a proper bank. They don't have a connection with a proper custodian. They just take your money, and you're going on trust. That's the Bernie Madoff kind of thing. But, you know, in that post, Vicki, I was thinking a little differently, because I was thinking about all these Wall Street guys. I mean, officially, they aren't crooks.
Right.
But how many people have been misled by their brokers, have been sold very, very expensive products that weren't right for them, have had their accounts churned with brokers buying stocks over and over again for them, or buying the most expensive mutual funds they can find, insurance agents doing the same kind of thing, these hugely expensive tax-deferred annuities that are just not going to work out very well in the end. I explain that in the book. I can't obviously explain it here.
Right, right.
But the crooks in suits that bother me are not actual crooks, but they are still putting their hand in your pocket, and they are getting rich. As we can see on Wall Street, look at these billions of dollars of bonuses that are existing thanks to taxpayer money put into these banks. They made so much profit, and they're getting the bonuses, and they are not helping their clients as well as helping the rest of the country or small businesses. It just absolutely enrages me.
Yeah, it does me. I think it does many people. And the bottom line there, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Jane Bryant-Quinn, I am so appreciative of you spending time with us today. I know you're coming to Seattle. You're coming on Friday, January the 29th. To the Seattle Chamber of Commerce at 11:30 a.m. So if listeners want to know more, they can find you there. They can also buy your book, which is called Making the Most of Your Money Now by Jane Bryant-Quinn. Thank you so much for being with us, Jane.
Thank you, Vicki.
And again, you can find more about Jane at her website, janebryantquinn.com. Lots of really valuable information up there. Please stay with us when we come back. We're profiling local business owner Terry Verdell.
But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want.
Hi, I'm Terry with tsigns.com with a quick tip for you. Next time you're crawling through traffic, think of it as promoting your business on the road. Reach potential new clients with custom-designed vehicle graphics, from a classy removable door sign to a full car body wrap or a simple but effective window decal. We can do it all. We're a family-run business here to help new customers find you. See tsigns.com for a personal guarantee or call Terry today at 206-971-6800. Again, 206-971-6800.
If you like to read fiction, check out Book Talk podcast reviews brought to you weekly by Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Go to conversationslive.net and click on the menu at Book Talk to hear reviews of an eclectic range of books. We review fiction from chick lit and mystery to suspense and literary, from new to old, overlooked and forgotten. Check out Book Talk podcasts today at conversationslive.net. If you'd like to suggest a book for review, email info@conversationslive.net or call 206-414-6159.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
Coming up next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, we raised a question. Are you happy? And if not, what can you do about it? Gretchen Rubin shares how she quit the elusive search for bliss and devoted a year of her life to the Happiness Project. Did it work? Find out next Monday at noon Pacific on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and find dozens of past show podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Seattle business owner Terry Vidal. His company is licensed, insured, and bonded. They guarantee they'll beat any price quote. They use the highest quality products and eco-friendly materials. And not only do they offer the lowest price guarantees, but they provide a one-day turnaround on their work. Well, what do they do? How do they do it? Terry's here to tell us more about it. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you, Vicki. We provide a full-service sign business. We provide anything you might need, from small graphic decals for your automobile or your storefront, to fully illuminated signs. Our focus is to help the small business owner and to help them seem like, you know, help them become a
Become more visible, right?
More visible, and let people know that they're stable. Mm-hmm. Particularly the small businesses, they don't really want to spend money on signs. So
right.
We show them that there is an affordable solution to making people feel like they're going to be around a while,
yeah.
And that they're trustworthy and credible.
Yeah. Well, let's back up a minute and let's talk about how you started your company and why you started your company. It is a family-owned business, which, you know, these days it's nice to do business with family-owned businesses, I think, because there
yes.
tends to be more personal approach there. Tell us how you got started and what your approach is to working with people.
Well, I've been doing sign work for over 20 years, and recently, I had been laid off, and I wanted to spend more time with my children. I had been working in the technology field, and I just felt that a lot of my time was spent away from home. And my daughters, I have three daughters, and they age from 2 to 11, and I just wanted to spend more time with them. And so me and my wife, we decided to start working from home more and push this business and trying to build it from ground up, more from a hobby to a full business. And so we're working on that, and that's why we're here today. We're trying to promote ourselves and to let people know that signs are affordable, and that you can get good quality signs and professional work from a small business owner like us.
Right. And it's much more about that. I mean, you have a whole background in branding, and I want to talk a little bit about some of the challenges to getting a small business going. You've been doing this quite a long time, and there are always challenges. What do you think, as a small business owner yourself, has been one of the biggest challenges for you?
The biggest challenge I've seen is just letting people know that we exist and going and meeting new clients and letting them know that we're their business friend and that we're going to be there for them
run. I think that's something that faces a lot of businesses when they get going. And even as they're still going, it's like, how do I keep myself out there? How do I keep myself visible? I wanted to talk a little bit about brand leadership. We've talked about this on our show quite a bit. And I think many people make the mistake of thinking that branding is just a business card and a logo and a corporate letterhead. And it's about much more than that. Just to give us an idea here, I mean, my philosophy on branding is that it's more of an esoteric thing. It's what people expect from you when they hear your name. Guy Kawasaki says that it is, if I can remember, he says that it starts within your company. It's about your people being evangelists for your company. Mm-hmm. Richard Branson talks about perception. It's the promise, again, that you make. How do you try and differentiate yourself from other signs within who would be your competitors, other sign companies who be your competitors?
Well, first of all, we do much more than they do. We'll actually come to your business and evaluate your needs. We won't just sell you a sign because we are trying to make a fast buck. We're there to help you make the best decision with your branding and with your budget. So we will actually evaluate all your sign needs, and we will recommend those to you in a printout of drawings. We'll have full drawings of your site, pictures of your site, and show exactly what might be helpful for your business. And then you can pick and choose what you might want to purchase.
Okay. Well, let's take a little break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking with Terry Verdell. Am I saying your name right?
Is it Verdell?
Verdell. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was Verdell or Verdell. We've talked a lot, but I wasn't quite sure how to pronounce that. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live, and we're profiling local business owner, Seattle business owner, Terry Verdell of T-Signs. Stay with us.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967, because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
If you missed a show on Conversations Live, check out conversationslive.net for dozens of free podcasts. Topics range from health and healing to business and career growth, from personal development to creativity, adventure, and the challenges of the human spirit. See conversationslive.net for talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Conversationslive.net, making a difference one word at a time.
Does work feel like a puzzle and you don't know where all the pieces are, or you have all the pieces, but you don't know what the picture should look like? Then join me, Denise Rubin, 30-year vet in human resources. I've sat in the boardroom and in the executive offices, and I'll share with you the trials and tribulations of the workplace and how together we can solve the workplace puzzle one piece at a time. Tune in to Work Does Matter, Fridays from 1 to 2 in the afternoon, on Alternative Talk, 1150. Visit my website at workdoesmatter.com.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate, making a difference, one word at a time.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. I don't know where you find this music, Eric. Signs. Very good. Thank you. You're listening to Conversations Live, and my guest in this segment is Terry Vidal. Now, I want to make one thing clear. Terry Vidal has been as a sponsor of Conversations Live. Their company is called tsigns.com. But, you know, I do not do infomercials. This is not an infomercial by any state. One of the reasons I wanted to talk with Terry is because I've met with him and his wife. They've done some work for me. I liked their approach. I loved that they're family-owned. I love that they make promises, and not just that they make promises, but they fulfill those promises. So I want to talk a little bit about those from a business perspective. One of the promises you make is that you will beat any price. How can you do that when you're a small company?
Well, most of the businesses that you might go to have high overhead because they have a big storefront or they have many employees. We're small. We only have a couple of employees, and we operate out of our home and in our garage. So we
which is where Jeff Bezos started, with Amazon.com, and Kathy somebody or other who makes road signs in England, and she just sold her company for $50 million.
Oh my gosh. That would be nice.
Just thought I'd share that with you.
Basically we're catering to the small businesses in our neighborhood, and we're focusing on building brand awareness in our own neighborhood by going to the Chamber of Commerce's and talking to and even showing examples. Like today I brought in some examples of what we could do that's affordable, that people don't even know you could have a sign for under $100 that can bring in business that they might not even be aware that was even possible.
Right. Well, I've worked with ad agencies in the past. I tend not to do that anymore as a consultant, but I have in the past worked with ad agencies a lot. And I was really surprised just what you can do with signs. And tell us a little bit about some of the signs. The one that intrigued me was a car wrap, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. I was in Tacoma a while back, and I saw this girl drive into the parking lot. Her business is Murals by Jamie. And she'd got signs on her car saying that she painted murals. And it was very colorful. It caught my eye. And then lo and behold, I saw her profiled on a business show a couple of days later. So tell us a little bit about what that was called, a car wrap. So tell us a little bit about a car wrap, for instance. If somebody has their own business and want to be more visible and you know, fairly inexpensively.
Well, the car wraps, they pretty much are permanent advertisement, like a salesperson for you that's always selling. So wherever your car is, people are seeing it and getting impressions of your business. So it's affordable, and it's an employee that always works for you. There's no downtime for that employee. So think of the vehicle wrap as an additional sales presence for your business. And basically what it is, think of it as like a giant sticker that you just wrap on your car, that you just stick to your car. And it's removable. And it can be changed with a campaign, or if you know you want to change your branding, you can change it out, and it doesn't harm your paint or your vehicle, and it's fully recyclable.
Shows for people who are looking on the camera, but don't forget, most of our listeners aren't right now. Just show a couple of the things. Talk about a couple of the things that you've made for local businesses.
Well, this is a Peaks frozen custard is in Georgetown, not Georgetown, but on 65th in North Seattle. And they have some street signs, but they weren't that visible. And so what we made was a reflective background on the sign where they pop out when drivers are driving down 65th and Roosevelt. In addition to that, they've asked us to come up with some branding for their containers. Mm-hmm. And so I know you can't see this, but basically, we made the full wrap that will go around the container as a prototype of what it will look like. Eventually, when they're able to afford it, they'll have these printed directly onto their onto their cups.
Ooh, chocolate frozen custard. Yum!
It's very good. It's much better than ice cream. But but basically, we're coming up with these cup designs for them and printing them out, and what's most affordable for them, like, you know, 15 cents a cup. To put the graphic on, and it's customizable just for them, and short runs, and they're able to do that for their businesses, but also to allow them to partner with other businesses, small businesses like themselves, and they sell their sandwiches, and then they sell their ice cream in reverse.
Oh, awesome! So. Now I want to talk about another one of the promises that you make, and that is that your first one is that you will be at any price. The second one is that you guarantee next day delivery and install. Again, as a small business owner, and if you're trying to beat price, how do you manage to do that, Terry?
The prices are, again, like we have the small overhead, but as far as the next day delivery, we are able to do that because, again, we're small and we'll work late hours and make sure it gets done to meet that deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we communicate directly with our clients and we say, look, this is how long it's going to take to do this kind of work. So maybe it might not be next day in every situation, but for the small things it might be. But we communicate up front exactly how long that would take and always each step of the way with our client getting approval and making sure that this is exactly what they want before we make anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that everyone's on the same page and there's no disappointments.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the quality of your work. I'm very picky when it comes to artwork. And I was really impressed with all of the quality of the work that I saw. How do you, let's say somebody wants to be more visible. What kind of approach do you take with them? Do you look at their current branding? Do you come up with whole fresh designs? I guess it depends on each individual business.
It depends on the size of the business and what they have and what they do not have. For example, this one insurance company that we're doing work with, they had some existing signs, but they were really outdated. They're like 20 years old. But they have some stipulations that they need to stay within because it's a branded company that they're franchised through. So we stayed within those parameters, but also made something that would be more up-to-date,
mm-hmm.
fresh. And then when people driving by may not realize that this person's in business because they've seen a sign for the last 20 years and it's never changed. When you change that sign, they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know you were in business.
Right.
I didn't even know this business was here. And they've been driving by it for 20 years. And now it's like a completely new identity and it looks fresh and clean and new.
Yeah, well, that happens because we're bombarded with signs on the freeway. And so on the streets, you can tend to turn a blind eye. So it's good to do a refresh then. One of the things that I like about your approach to business, apart from being family owned, and you take a very, very personal vested interest in this, obviously because it's your livelihood, mm-hmm. but there are businesses out there who fail to do that even so. But you have a very clearly defined sense of what your business is about, which I think is a key to success in any business. One of the things you say is that you, as far as possible, you try to refurbish. I think we touched a little on that earlier.
Yes.
You use biodegradable inks, recyclable materials wherever you can. Talk mm-hmm. a little bit about your approach on that.
We want to make this world sustainable, and we want to continue with that. I teach that to my children, recycle, recycle, recycle. They learn it from school. They learn it from our family. But in every situation we come into, in fact, even with the Peaks frozen custard, they have biodegradable cups, and they wanted to make sure that what we did was completely recyclable. We did research, and there's some situations. Part of the situation is that we could either have one or the other, but we couldn't have both.
We
couldn't be fully recyclable. So we just evaluate those choices with our client, let them make the decision in the long run. As far as like being able to recycle signs, we do our best to do that as well. There was situations where a sign was kind of beat up, and we asked the client, would you like us to recycle the sign for you and reuse it? And at that time, they didn't want to, but I saved it because we could use it in the future for another client or for a donation to a school or something like that where the scratches on the sign can be fixed and covered, and we can just reuse it. So basically, we were using the sign later on for another purpose that may not have the budget to afford mm-hmm. a completely brand new.
One thing I remember from when you and I first met is that, my mother used to have a bar when she lived in San Diego many, many, many years ago. And the sign was a lighted sign. And one of the bulbs was forever going out, and trying to get up there on, you know, a 12-foot ladder was a flipping nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And you make a guarantee on that for local people. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Basically, one of our services is that we provide a full service guarantee that if any of your lights go out or your sign stops working, that we'll make sure that it's fixed and repaired as part of a monthly subscription cost or yearly subscription cost. So I don't know of any other sign company that's doing that in this business, and we'll guarantee that your sign faces are clean. We check them, and we'll set appointments with you, or just come up every 6 months and make sure your faces are clean. With one of the companies we worked with recently in Kent, we clean their faces for free just to
the
show them.
The sign face, right?
Their faces. Yeah, their sign faces for free.
Right.
Not the crumbs off the cheek. No, but we clean their sign faces. It was just like there was some mold on it, and I was like, I cleaned it off. It was like a monument sign on the ground and around some flowers. And we just cleaned it up to show them, like, look, this is how easy it was to clean it, and you can buy the service from us. We just did it for free just to, you know, just do the extra. I mean, sometimes the little extra helps you with repeat business, and that right. I've seen that in the past.
Oh, definitely. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, because I think you have some great philosophies. Customer service, to me, is the reason that I do business with people. I don't care so much about price. I don't care so much about where they are. What I really, really care about is, am I going to pick up the phone and get somebody within a reasonable amount of time to take care of my situation? Mm-hmm. And I know you really strive on working to do that.
Absolutely.
Tell us, you've been over 20 years of experience, as you said, but how much... tell us about some of the new clients that you've brought in, because I was really impressed.
I have clients. One of my clients that I'm currently doing work with is a Alzheimer's home, and what we've done for them is help them become more the people in the neighborhood become more aware of what they're doing. Basically, they're helping people who one of their signs says grandma and grandpa's wanted. I mean, some of those things, we're just trying to make them publicly aware that they're there and that they help people with Alzheimer's needs. And so we've created a 3-foot by 22-foot banner that goes all the way along their fence line. So people driving down this one street can actually see that they're nationally accredited home for this specific purpose for Alzheimer's patients.
Yeah.
And in addition, we updated their signs. They have some hanging signs that we updated, and I cleaned their faces. And we also are putting in a stand-up board sign that actually has track lettering that they can put a new message out each day about their business. They want to do something that catches people's attention, that changes weekly or daily,
right?
That brings more business and awareness to their business needs.
Right. Now, I know not everyone can see this, so we need to be aware of that, but I want to just look at what you've managed to do for me from a business card. So talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yes, I made some small graphics for Vicky that she can stick on her car.
I got to keep my car clean now.
on the back of her car, on her window, in the studio. She can actually put it on the back of her laptop. So I made various sizes.
So this is the kind of, it will just peel off, and this is clear. When it's peeled off, it will be clear.
No, it's actually white.
Okay.
And white background.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Green and blue lettering.
Yeah. And you did that just from the artwork that my, fantastic.
Just from an EPS file.
Yeah.
A PDF file, EPS file. I have a graphic background as well. And so I can manipulate graphics from business cards to your branding, your lettering, website design,
right,
et cetera.
So one of the things that, you know, I'm looking for a new website vendor right now, and things that has held me up is deciding which way to go. But
It depends on what you need. So if you are looking for something that's just managing content, or if you're looking for something that's just putting out information about who you are, there's a lot of free solutions that I found recently for some of my clients that I've actually created a free website for them that they can maintain themselves. It's really easy. And I'm not trying to promote Microsoft, but Microsoft Office Live has some really great tools out there that are free, and you can do content management, et cetera, blogs, all this for free.
Right. So for a very small investment, and in some cases free, you know, your investment would be time in that case.
Yeah, like maybe an investment in having someone do it for you. Like, say I have these changes, I don't have time for it, and you know a lot about it, then maybe you could say, hey, for $10 a month, manage my website.
Right, right.
You know, something, there's just an opportunity there.
Yeah. Well, I think we've covered some ground here. we've pretty much gone all over the place. But what would you like to leave listeners
branding,
with today?
But branding's part of all of that.
Branding's your website. Branding is part of that, yeah.
Branding's your website. Branding's your business card. Branding's your letterhead, how you communicate with your clients, your voicemail message is even your branding about who you are. So what you have on your car, how you present yourself is your branding for your business.
Yeah.
And so...
So sum up how you would describe your branding, if you had to describe
my,
it.
My branding?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Your brand.
The T-Signs branding?
Yeah.
That we're reliable, available. We come to you. We're there for you. We're your business friend.
Family-owned.
Family-owned business friend.
Yeah, eco-friendly. Fantastic. I've really enjoyed talking with you today, and I want to make sure that we give listeners your website so they can find out more about you.
tsigns.com.
And a phone number?
206-971-6800.
And again?
206-971-6800. You can reach us at tsigns.com.
tsigns.com. Okay. And I want to say congratulations to you, because I said earlier I'd met you and your wife, but she's not quite your wife yet. She's soon to be.
In a few weeks.
And you're heading off to Vegas. And I wish you all the very best there.
Thank you.
And next steps? What do you see in the next 6 months?
The next 6 months, we will be doing more work with businesses and from Chamber of Commerce's. We're going to work really hard in getting our local Beacon Hill Chamber of Commerce working with them and starting. I want to start local and just build out from there.
Yeah.
We've been doing work in Kent and Linwood and some of the outer regions, but I want to keep our business local to our area. And work on building the brand identity for us in this region.
Sounds fantastic. Terry Vidal, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Vicky.
And you can find out more about Terry Vidal and his business at tsigns.com, and business with integrity, that's what I'd call it. Questions or feedback on any part of today's show, you can reach me at info@conversationslive.net or at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. And we'll be back next week with all new live programming. Until then, live well, live strong. Thanks for being with us this hour on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Coming up next week on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, we raised a question. Are you happy? And if not, what can you do about it? Gretchen Rubin shares how she quit the elusive search for bliss and devoted a year of her life to the Happiness Project. Did it work? Find out next Monday at noon Pacific on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and find dozens of past show podcasts at conversationslive.net.